Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to this week's episode of Radio Established to Address Life. I'm your host, Levon, and I have no fucking clue as to what is going on this day. I will explain. First off, I am in Texas. I'm supposed to be in Dallas, but my happy ass is in Houston. Now, not that big of a deal because I was supposed to wind up in Houston anyhow. However, I'm in Houston with nothing, literally. So I'm driving home yesterday with the full intention of packing, getting ready to rock and roll. All the stuff is laid out. I know what I want to do, my colors, my shoes, you know. I got the sneakers out. I got the dress shoes because I'm not trying to pack too much crap. You know, I got a couple pairs of this, couple pairs of that. Socks, drawers, t-shirts, jeans, dress slacks, you name it, all ready to rock and roll. Get off work, in the car, cruising. Got my SiriusXM backspin pumping. I'm just listening to a little Tribe Called Quest, doing my thing, bobbing my head, da-da-da. Rain comes in, no biggie, roll up the windows, because it was nice and warm in Baltimore yesterday. Roll up the windows, turn the AC, just kicking it, cruising, boom, boom, boom. A little crisscross come on, I'm in the Joe, I'm just doing it, you know, having a great day. Get a text message alert. What's this all about? This is Southwest. We have canceled your flight for tomorrow. Please see, log on to Southwest.com and see what other accommodations you can make. Well, what? No, that's not good. Baby girl's birthday was Thursday. No, Lee don't miss baby girl's birthday. That's not going to happen. Let's figure out what we're going to do around here. Yeah. So I logged in real quick. You know, I'm driving in Texas. I'm driving in surfing. It is what it is. I didn't hit nobody. Nobody hit me. It's a good situation. I come to see that there is There are, I'm sorry, no more flights leaving out tonight. Okay, that's an issue. Well, let me see what could potentially happen tomorrow. Next flight I could get out is today at God knows what time, but it doesn't get me into Dallas until 2:30, 3 o'clock-ish. No, that doesn't work. I need to be in Houston at that time. It doesn't work. So I tried again, and I see that there was a flight leaving out last night. So I was like, well, let me just go over to the airport and see what's going on. Thank God. And boy, I tell you, God works in mysterious ways. Thank God I was on time for that. So I breezed through. I got myself into the airport, went over to my favorite parking spot. They're full. Another spot is full. So I had to wind up parking at the hourly garage. $25 a day. Now, it would have taken me, it would have cost me roughly $35 for the entire time I was going to be away. I paid that already in one damn day. But anyhow, get out, rushing through the airport, looking like OJ. No gloves to fit, no bloody knife, though. Not that OJ, the old school OJ, running to the damn airport looking for the Hertz rental car. Get to the Southwest counter, step up. Ladies, I need some help, please. I'm desperate. I'm trying to get a flight out tonight going to Texas. I don't care if I got to go through Timbuktu in order to get to Dallas. Doesn't matter, but I need to be in Texas tonight. Sorry, sir, but this is express baggage check-in because you need to go down there in that long line with those other people. So I'm walking toward the long line. I see some supervisors. I grab them up. Ladies, I'm sorry, I'm desperate. According to my phone, there's a flight leaving in 35 minutes. I need to know if I can make that flight going to Texas. Well, let's go back down here. So they took me right back to the ladies that pushed me away initially. Hey, can you help this gentleman? They're pulling up my information to try to figure out what's going on, yada, 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 yada. Long story short, I'm not able to make it to that. But they are able to route me into Houston. And as the young lady said, look, it is your responsibility to get from Houston to Dallas because that's where your departing flight is from. I said, okay, whatever. I'm in the zone. I'm not even rocking with that right now. That doesn't even register. I don't care. I just need to get on this damn plane so I can get my ass to Texas. Go through security. No issues, you know. Boom. My concern, my issue, my problem, though, is I literally left with nothing. No packed bags, no toiletries, nothing. I hopped on a plane with my cell phone, my headset for the show, my wallet. I think I had $65 in my pocket, and my chargers for my phone. That's it. So we're supposed to get into Houston at midnight. Sit there, plane gets loaded, everything's chilly most, plane gets filled up. We're about to push off and we're still sitting. I'm thinking this flight got canceled as well. We're still sitting. Man, this is going to freaking suck. I did all this, went through all that, and this damn flight got canceled again. On top of that, my C's got their asses handed to them yet again last night by the Cleveland Cavaliers. Not, though, unexpected because we are definitely outmatched, and I'm not mad about that. I'm very much happy that we at least made it this deep in the playoffs. So, you know, look, that was a sidebar conversation, but I'm in the terminal, obviously, extended period of time, and this is one of the things that was going on. This is one of the things that helped keep me calm. And I'm like, wow. But anyhow, so we're boarding up, and I have C-66. If you've ever flown Southwest, the the greatest thing on earth. And yes, I emphasize earth this time, not earth, but earth, is to get an A or a high, well, a very low B boarding pass, right? Because you tend to get a very good seat, blah, 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 blah. My ass is in C66. I never even heard of C66 as far as the boarding pass is concerned. So I'm like, holy hell. Then there was a, there were two groups of children, large groups actually, that flew out of Baltimore last night. And one group was so unruly that the ramp agent threatened to call the police to have them escorted off the terminal. Horrible. The other group was very unruly as well, but they little more subdued than the crew that did not get on my plane. Anyhow, get on the plane, and of course, the slim pickings, but I don't mind. I don't mind sitting in the rear of the plane, so I sat all the way in the rear, and I was fortunate enough to get an aisle seat. Get a little aisle seat next to this lady, mother of three. She has twin boys and an older son. Oh, I'm sorry, mother of four. Twin boys, an older son, and then the oldest is a girl. So we're sitting back and we're talking now. Understand something. Your boy doesn't stay awake on planes long. It just doesn't happen. Once I get on the aircraft, you give me about 5 minutes and I'm done. I am completely done. It does not take me long to fall asleep aboard an airplane at all. It's just my norm. I've logged too many damn flying hours, too many miles. It doesn't worry me any. When I sit down, you can count it. You can count it down. 3 to 5 minutes, I'm toast. So, again, we had a conversation. We had a conversation. The conversation started leaning off. I said, okay, ma'am, well, I'll be asleep in about 2-3 minutes. And she's like, okay. So I racked out, woke up thinking that we were here. We weren't. We still had about 40 minutes left. So we got to talking again. Conversation started weaning down. She said, well, I'm going back to sleep. She said, no problem. So I went back to sleep. Landed here in Houston a little before midnight. Got my rental whip. Added another day to my hotel because, again, I was coming down here anyhow. So added another day to my hotel stay. That was simple as pie. Good look, very good look. And thank you to the staff of the Sheraton because they have been excellent through this whole thing. So get here, get checked in. Go to Wally World last night, and I'm buying everything. Again, I came with nothing, so I'm buying drawers, I'm buying socks, I'm buying toothpaste, deodorant, shaving cream, razor, and you name it, I'm buying it. My contacts, I'm not faking. I wear contacts. They're clear, so I'm not trying to pretty up the eyes. But I do wear contacts, so my contact solution, the case for the contact, I mean, you literally name it, and I'm in Wally World last night / this morning buying it. It was horrible. So I get through all that. I get back to the room. I said, well, actually, That's not true. It wasn't that simple because, you know, it's late. I'm tired. My mind isn't functioning right. So I'm going round and round and round and round and round and round in that damn place. Seemed like all damn morning. So I finally get back to the room. I settle in, and here I am. I'm not going to say I'm bright-eyed and bushy-tailed because that would be a lie. However, once you make a commitment, you stick to those commitments, you know. That has been a point of interest, actually, over the past month. We have been talking offline, off air, about doing a show about commitment and when commitments are broken. And that's coming closer and closer to fruition. We're lucky enough today, though, to have LaTanya Moore coming back on with us. She has a virtual event coming up in a couple of weeks. And the focus there is women in business and the four keys to success for women in business. So that is a beautiful thing for today because I don't have it. I don't have it in the tank. I am trumped out. Well, that's not really true, but I'm pretty much trumped out. I am beat. I am mentally beat. I am physically beat. Financially, thank God I'm not beat. I made some moves that just everything panned out properly. You know, I mean, it was like, do this, do that, don't do this. And, you know, I didn't feel a certain kind of way when I said, don't do this. I didn't feel a certain kind of way when I said, do that. Everything was just right. I didn't second guess any of my moves. I didn't second guess just hopping on the plane. It wasn't like, well, I can just wait till later. Nope, it was, you need to get your ass there because you've committed to doing certain things, so you need to be in place in order to do that. Make a commitment. Stick to your commitments. I had purchased baseball tickets yesterday. And I'm like, yo, are you kidding me? So I'm going to miss the game tomorrow because of this whole situation. I mean, seriously, everything fell into place. And it has continuously been a good look. You know, this could have gone very ill. It could have gone the way of me getting to the airport and them saying to me directly, we have nothing for you. Everything's been canceled. You just got to deal with it. It could have gone that way. It could have gone the way of, which I have done, which I'm pretty sure all of us have done, me leaving the house, me leaving my wallet at home, you know, forgetting it because I had it in one jacket that I didn't wear, a pair of pants that I didn't wear, and just didn't transfer them over, whatever. That didn't happen. I have flown to Atlanta in the past and left my credit card at home. That didn't happen. There are so many things that did not happen that actually broke my way. And I can do nothing but be grateful for the grace of God because without He, this would not have been possible. So, you know, for all you all who say that I'm going to hell just because I don't believe in your Jesus, always remember that God and I have a very good relationship, and that's what's up. But, yeah, man, this has been one for the books, Jack. I don't have a lot of crazy travel stories. This is like, I guess, my third one outside of the leaving the credit card at home. So that one, I got stories to tell today because I just feel it. So that one goes like this. I'm sitting at home, last minute booking a rental car. I do it through Hotwire, right? No, I think I did it through Priceline, whatever. But it was already paid for. Do you dig? So I did the credit card information, driver's license, all that stuff. Everything was put in. So all they had to do was arrive, flash everything. They run it for whatever hold they wanted to do, if they wanted to do a hold or whatever. And I'm gone. I'm out the door. I get up. I leave. I get to the airport, get on the plane. I'm gone. Everything's lovely. Get off the plane, cool. Get on the tram, cool. Get in the shuttle, cool. Get to the rental car spot, cool. The lady asks me for my driver's license and ID, not an issue. I go in my pocket, pull out my wallet, give her my driver's license, and no credit card. Holy shit, hold on, let me see anything. No credit card, nothing, nada, zip, zap, zilch. And I realize I left it sitting up on my keyboard because I was typing my credit card information in order to pay for the car. I was like, holy shit. So I call back to the house. I call back to Baltimore. I tell my brother, like, yo, look, I need you to go to the house, grab my card, overnight it to me, and I'll take care of you when I get back. Oh, no problem. Now, this is the reason that trip actually was the reason that I started carrying cash on me whenever I travel. I have a very good slash bad habit of taking a nice sum of money out in cash whenever I travel, because I was headed to Montgomery, Alabama to see the kids, so I had to catch the Greyhound from Atlanta to Montgomery because my cousin was TDY at the time. Marcus was out of the country at the time. That's the only reason I caught the damn Greyhound. And then TL, something was going on with TL that weekend. So, like, nobody could get me. You know what I'm saying? I was like, yo, just bump it. I'll just catch the Greyhound. So I caught the Greyhound. And yeah, it was not a good look. That was not a good look. The other story, though, is, again, another Alabama story. I flew into Birmingham, and there was a quote-unquote, air quotes, sarcastic 100% storm coming in. And the state shut down the highways because of this storm, quote-unquote. And I could not get to the they wouldn't rent me a car at the airport because of it. And then, so the lady suggested, she said, well, you might be able to get in front of it if you go to the bus depot and do it that way. I said, okay, cool. Well, I just, boom. So I went over to the bus depot to try to catch the Greyhound down. That didn't happen either. So TL actually wound up coming to get me for that trip. But it wasn't until the next day because, again, they shut down the damn highways. So I had to sleep in the damn bus terminal that night. I was livid. You boy, what are you talking about? Pissed. Your boy was pissed. I was pissed to the highest degree of pissivity over some bullshit storm that was nothing. But in Alabama, they were talking about, I think it was like an inch and a half of snow, maybe, freezing rain. It was just, they freaked out. Like, yo, that's nothing. But if you're not used to dealing with it, then it's a huge storm. And that's how that went down. So this now is on the list of wacky-ass travel stories. But this one here, this is special. This is really, really special because never have I been without my personal belongings. You know, I've never been without that. And I used to work for America West, defunct airline. This was in the early 2000s, before it went away. And I used to work in baggage claim. And I've seen people many a day not have their bags connect to them, with them, for them, for whatever reason. The shit just got lost, blah, blah, blah. And I've always had sympathy for them. Now I have empathy for them. I can feel it. I truly can feel it. This was just, it was disastrous. It was absolutely disastrous. I mean, my mouth was open. I'm sitting there like, when the text came through, I'm like, yo, what you mean? Like, how is my flight canceled? You know, this was 7 o'clock in the evening. How is my flight canceled for tomorrow morning at 6:55? Like, what the hell? Just moving through it, scrambling, you know, working with, again, shout out to Southwest, man. Just, they have been completely lovely through this whole situation. I was on the phone with them 3-4 o'clock this morning, connecting, trying to understand and see if I could change my departure city to Houston now versus Dallas. And the young lady was like, absolutely. Yeah, that is not your issue. It's ours. You know, it's one of those situations that doesn't happen often, but it happens. So, you know, we'll work with you through whatever. And, you know, just tell me what you need. And I told her, and she was like, well, I can't make the change because the initial change was done at the airport. So you have to go back to an airport to have a travel agent do it. But I'll make a note on your reservation and we'll make it happen for you. It's not even a problem. I was like, yo, sweet, sweet. Now, the the solid thing about it is I've actually saved money on my rental car. The rental car in Dallas was about $40 more. No, that's not true, because I rebooked it, so it was $50 more than the rental car I have down here in Houston. So that was actually very kind of the travel gods, and I'm appreciative of that. And the room, addition date to the room was nothing, to be honest with you. I mean, it was relatively nothing. That was a small thing to a giant. So that all came out as a wash. And then the impromptu shopping spree last night, well, you know, I kept that to a minimum. I was a 97 cent king last night. You know, you hit a Walmart, you go to that damn travel section, I just did it up. I did it up. You know, I don't need anything big. I don't need anything ginormous. I just need stuff to get me through the next couple of days. So why spend all that money for nothing? You know, that makes no damn sense to me. I was fortunate to get it. Big thing of lotion, but hell, even that was 97 cents. And, I don't believe in throwing away money if I don't have to. There were some things I didn't compromise on. Last night, listen to me, it wasn't last night, a damn couple of hours ago. There were certain things I didn't compromise on. I didn't compromise on them whatsoever. I would not allow myself to. But for the most part, I was like, you know, shit, it's just a couple of days. I can live with it, you know. I was scrambling around, worried about how much the underwear and the socks were going to be, because I know of places back home where I can get that stuff on the cheap. And it's perfect for an emergency type situation. And listen to me, an emergency type situation like this, I don't know that here in Houston. I mean, even when I lived here, I didn't find any places like that really. So I just dealt with it, like, you know, bump it. It is what it is. But even that, I came out pretty lovely, you know. I've been looking for a backpack forever. I saw a backpack that Wally World had, and I was like, yo, perfect. Instead of buying another piece of luggage, I'll just rock the backpack, you know. Now, I'll have an excuse later on to go out and buy some jeans and some shirts, but, you know, for the most part, I'm good. I'm getting back to a normal state and whatnot. Now, I'm starving like Marvin. I ain't gonna lie, I got a little bit of vittles in me this morning, but I'm a growing young man. I'm a grown fella. I need to eat again. So once Ms. Moore does her thing, 9 times out of 10 I'ma bow out, because I really do need to get my life started. Because again, none of this was planned like this. This was last night was supposed to be a very good dinner. Followed by a very good sleep, followed by ease on to the airport, followed by something at the airport to eat on, followed by a nice little landing in Dallas after my meal, getting the car, driving down here. So, topsy-turvy, but it's all for the good, for real, because I'm still here. I made my commitments. I made it to the place where I can keep my commitments. This was not something that I had plotted on, schemed on, or planned on at all, but it did work out for the good. Some of my friends that I made while I was here, I notified them that I was here, so I get a little time to spend with them before I get with my sister. So, you know, it's cool, man. I mean, it really worked out for the good. And it didn't look like that in the midst of it. It really looked like it was going to be cray-cray all the way around, and I was going to not be happy. But I'm good. I'm very happy. I'm fortunate enough to be in a situation where I could afford to make the things happen. So I'm blessed for that. I'm happy about that. Yeah, it's a good day. It's a very good day. So, see, Ms. Moore should be calling in any moment. Okay, so
I have a note here. I have a couple of notes. All right. Well, we have a broken wiener. Yeah, not like that. Shut your mouth. Huma Abedin. Remember her? She's the right hand person to Hillary Clinton. She's finally decided to divorce Anthony Weiner. Now, Anthony Weiner, if you all recall, is the congressperson whom had a and has a history of texting his Weiner parts to women whom he was trying to smash on the side. Mrs. Abedin has finally had enough, and she is leaving Mr. Weiner to go about her business and her life. Now, this is not earth-shattering news because it was expected, but it's interesting at the timing of it, in my personal opinion. And I will shut up there because Ms. Moore is on, so we're going to go directly to her and let her do her thing. Uh-oh. Let me do this right now. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, since I told you we want to do that, without a doubt, we in Georgia. Now, we definitely have to plug getting your dad on. Now, we talked about that a couple of weeks ago. Don't forget, I want him on for the Fathers and Daughters show, which is going to come up around the week of Father's Day, the weekend before Father's Day.
Okay. All right.
Cool. Uh-oh.
I'll do my best to make that happen, Lee.
You don't think we're ready?
I really just don't know. I have no clue what's going to come out of his mouth. I'm just saying, don't hold me accountable. Don't hold me accountable, that's all. As long as you guys
family,
promise to not hold me accountable, I'll do my very best.
Family, if you've not checked out, and it's Letonya Moore, Moore. If you've not checked out her out on Facebook with her daddy, or I'm sorry, you're in Alabama, her diddy. If you and her diddy, you have not checked them out together, you have to watch it. He is hilarious. I absolutely love it because he knows what he knows, and he knows what he knows. He is hilarious, man. I love him. I love that dude. He is cooler than the fan, for real. And, you know, look, much like I see where you get your entrepreneurial spirit from, you know, I was I caught the broadcast that you all were doing, and you said you were talking about the strip club that he owned or a bar that he owned, one of the two, and he had a white male as the front person for it. What was it? Was it a club or was it a bar?
It was a strip club. Yeah, it was a strip club.
Okay. Yeah. Crazy. Yeah. And I was like, man, the funny thing about that, and I'm gonna let you get in with your virtual event, but the funny thing about that is the college I went to met a brother. He was older. He wasn't older, but he was older than me. And he was from Alabama as well. He started a transportation company. And one of the things that he did with that was the same thing your dad did. He had a white male as the figurehead for the company. And he would pay him X amount of dollars to go out, get contracts, so on and so forth. But it was his company. But he just threw this white dude out every now and again to, you know, go to a meeting, negotiate a contract, blah, 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 and boom. Like, yo, I don't the things we have to go through in order to make a dollar are still unacceptable. But you have an event coming up in a couple
of
weeks.
One thing I would like to address that, you know, I think that what we have to understand is that we have to come to a place of whatever works, because at the end of
Correct.
The day, you put the best person in place to get the best deal for you. So if that
mm-hmm.
means that your target will deal better with, you know, a white face, then that's what you have to do. And I think that when we accept that what we're doing at the end of the day is we are building our brand, and we are building our legacy. And if we can build our legacy on the backs and hard work of the people that have built their legacy on the backs and hard work and free labor, then guess what? So be it. I could care less if someone doesn't know that I own something. Whoever is going to get the client, who's ever going to get, whoever can close the deal, that's going to be that's put in that position. And I think that we have to come to a place to be okay with that. We have to come to a place where we don't care if I don't need for someone to validate me. I don't need for you to tell me I'm smart. I don't need for you to tell me I can do a good job, because we know that already. And I think that sometimes we fall into that trap of feeling like we need that validation. And so that's where some of that comes from. And people like the gentleman you mentioned, people like my father, they spent a lot of years probably not being able to figure that out. And so now they're like, now that I know this, I don't care. I'm just going to do it. So I just wanted to put that in perspective for your listeners.
Yeah, and I appreciate that, because I had a sidebar conversation about control and, you know, black males specifically being in positions of control and how difficult it is for them to let go. And I think this is in the same vein. It's not the exact same thing, but it's the same thing, same vein, meaning we are so oppressed that when we get in the seat of power, we don't want to leave it, because because that's the thing that makes us feel like a man. So to your point, when they figured it out, it's like, yo, I'm just as good, just as strong of a man as anybody else, but I'm going to utilize the best tool to get me the greatest return no matter what. That's what's up. You know, I don't disagree with that. I don't have to be the figurehead or the face of my brand, as long as my brand is moving, selling, getting to the people that I needed to get to, and doing what I needed to do. That's all that matters. You know, but that's an ego check, and a lot of people can't check their egos like that. They just can't.
But sometimes we don't know. And sometimes you don't know, because it's like you said. Oftentimes, especially with black men, We've been conditioned to believe that is directly connected to our manhood, for example, to their manhood. So when you now when you challenge that, you're challenging. They see it as a challenge to their manhood versus we need to do what's best for the company, because you have to put that aside. And you're right, ego, manhood, all of that has to be checked. But I think people have to be taught to understand that that's the way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But you know, again, that's a transition into your event that's coming up. You're helping people to understand how to maximize their brand, how to maximize their resources, so on and so forth. Your focus for this one is the ladies, though. Give us some more information about that.
Yeah, so the reason that I wanted to focus on women is that there are some unique needs that I believe women have when they're looking at either growing their brand, transitioning into a brand. Oftentimes we feel like we have to take care of everybody. We got to take care of the husband, the kids, the parents. We got to take care of the world, the community. We have all of these things that we do, and so we start to feel guilty when now we're trying to start this business that God has given us, this idea that God has given us. We feel guilty now because all of those other competing priorities are put on the back burner. And so one of the main things that we are dealing with our women's event is really about mindset and understanding how to really handle and deal with all of those things, so that we know that it's really okay to go into business. Because the very first thing that you have to have in check is your mind, like you mentioned. You have to check your ego. You have to have the right mindset, because this is a journey. It's a forever journey. You can't just say, I want to do it, and you think that everything is going to be successful out the gate. So that's the first part that we're looking at. The other portions that, because there are four different areas. So we're looking at mindset and motivation. We're looking at money. We're looking at marketing, and we're looking at mastery. And money, of course, is, I've been doing a lot of videos, as you know, about ways to get money for your product, ways to get money for your brand without spending money. A lot of people, they don't want to put that sweat equity into it. One of my last two videos were about was about getting sponsors for your brand, and then actually being a brand sponsor so that you can leverage that relationship to bring in direct dollars. I'm not talking about you doing an event and some company giving you a whole bunch of T-shirts or a whole bunch of leaflets. I'm talking about being in a position where a company will say, okay, for a year, yeah, I'll give you $100,000. You have to. There are some foundational things that you have to have in place before you can even approach that company, or else they're going to laugh you out of there. They're going to throw your package in the garbage. So those are some things that we talk specifically about, because we need for women to understand image. We need for women to understand that when you go to this meeting, you better go in there like a boss. Everybody want to be a boss, but you got to know how to be a boss so that you can close the deal. That's where the mastery part comes in. So all of those foundational principles lead up to the mastery part of it. Again, you have to know, once you get this money, how do you deal with it? What are some things that you need to do? We're going to be talking about taxes. We're going to be talking about budgeting. We're going to be talking about the fact that, you know, you can't take, you know, you can't take the sponsor's money and buy little Johnny a pair of Jordans or whatever it is that you think that you're going to do with this money. You have to do exactly with that money what the sponsor tells you to do. So that's just one example of what we're going to be talking about to kind of illustrate the overall vision for the event.
Okay. You said little Johnny some Jordans. Now that brings up a different aspect of, you know, folks being addicted to retail and labels, but, you know, we're not going to talk about that. So your target audience obviously is women. Is there an age group specific you're looking at? Just as your target, not, you know, your end all be all, but your target, are you looking at women in a certain industry, or is this just generic?
So we're looking at, particularly age-wise, women 25 to roughly 50 to 55. We have three different groups that typically would be interested in an event like this. You have some very motivated millennials that are really looking for ways to just do their own thing. So we're looking at the millennial group, and so we're going to be able to help with that. You also have the group that's transitioning. It's a lot of women that were like myself who, you know, worked in corporate America and just said, okay, I need to transition from this because I need to now birth my purpose. That's another group that's going to be interested in things like this. And then the third group are the women that are already out there full-time. They're already out there full-time, and they're saying, okay, I need to now get my brand out there. I need to get my brand out there. So those are the three groups that we're targeting. So if anybody is fit, and anybody fits into that category, check us out.
Now, historically, that's not true. So the videos you've been doing a lot lately, I've been checking them out. I appreciate that. They've been really great information. You talk about your brand a lot. How do you control your brand? And I don't want you to give away too much stuff from the seminar, but how do you make a brand, control it, nurture it? I don't think a lot of people understand that.
Well, the big thing is you have to know what it is. You have to have a vision, and you have to say, what do I want this to be? Because that's where it all starts. And I always tell people, you can't look at your business or your brand as a blank sheet of paper. It's actually not. You have to look at it the same way that the architect, when you get an art, let's say you're building a house. This is the easiest way to explain it. And you go to an architect and you say, these are the things that I want in my house. And what the architect does, they render you a complete drawing. So you know every aspect of your house. that's where your business should start. Because what you're telling the architect is the same thing that you would come to me and say when you're trying to get your business vision together, when you're trying to get your business plan together. And what I do, I'm the architect, and I produce you a rendering. And then at that point, now you already can visualize what it's looking like. And so to answer the question directly, how do you control your brand? You control your brand by first coming up with your complete vision. You need to know what the completed vision is. You need to know what the destination is so that you know how to get there and the best way to get there.
Okay. What is the biggest downfall that you think most folks fall into, I should say pitfall, most folks fall into when either starting out or in that budding phase where, you know, they've had a good start, but they're right about to blossom, and then, boom, for whatever reason, they fall into this pit. What's been that experience that you've seen?
Usually what it is, they fail to have a strong foundation in place. Because when you plan the way that you should plan, now you can't know everything, certainly. But when you plan the way that you should plan, you're going to already have an idea of, well, if this happens, this is what we need to do. And what I see is that people are just not prepared. They go into these businesses because these businesses are great ideas. You know, they're passionate about it. And so they're running off of adrenaline versus being 100% prepared and ready to go.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you talked about one of the facets of the seminar was going to be about money, correct? Now, are you talking about, is that about raising capital? Is it about raising capital and controlling capital, or is it more focused on raising capital?
Both.
Okay.
It's going to be about raising.
I'm sorry. And then the follow-on question to that, okay, are we talking about hard capital or are we talking about traditional loans? If a loan is even necessary.
Right. Now let me say this. I try very hard not to promote loans, because I believe that a big pitfall is when people start out in debt. I think that if you spend the time up front to raise enough seed money, then you can actually utilize that seed money and grow without taking on any debt. Because remember, we're talking about a lot of people that either have never seen a business all the way through, or the business that they have, they're at a place where the business is going down. I mean, usually people that are making all the money that they want to make, they don't even think about getting a loan. So we're already talking about people that are in a position of disadvantage. So that's a bad idea. But as an aside, we do talk about hard money. We talk about exactly how to get money, how you can get money, ways that you can get money, where what's out there, again, that you can get money. But it takes a lot of sweat equity, and a lot of people, they don't want to put that work in. They don't.
Sweat equity.
They don't want to put in the work. It's sweat equity. They don't want to put in the sweat equity. That's just like if you came to me and you said, okay, LaTanya, I want to work with you because I want to get sponsors for my podcast. And I say, okay, well, Lee, these are the things that you need to do. Like I talk about exactly, I tell people, look, before you even talk to a sponsor, my last two videos were about that. Before you even talk to a sponsor, these are the things you need to get together. The very last video was about that hard data that you need. All of those things are things that you are either going to have to do, or you're going to have to pay someone like myself or someone with my expertise to do it for you. So the average entrepreneur, they want something for free, or they don't have the budget. So if you don't have the budget, that's when your sweat equity kicks in. If you have the budget, then you pay someone to do it, and then now you're ready to go. But if you don't, there's a certain amount of sweat equity that you're going to have to put in it. And what that says to me people that aren't willing to put in the sweat equity, they're not willing to put in the work to grow the business.
Okay. That makes sense to me. That makes sense to me. Now, what other highlights are you going to have during the seminar?
Well, of course, you know, like I said, we're gonna do a lot about money. Money really is the big thing because that's typically the biggest pain point for most entrepreneurs. The final side is the mastery of it. So I'm gonna have someone that's gonna be talking about your taxes and every negative thing that an entrepreneur does, we're gonna tell them first how not to do it and what to do instead. So we are going to literally give them, this is what you need to do. This is exactly what you need to do. The second thing is I'm going to be talking about a lot of legal protection issues. It's 1,000 books out there about how to start a corporation, how to start an LLC, what do you need to know? I don't talk about that. Now, if someone has a question, I certainly will address it. That's not what I talk about. What I talk about is the impact of those structures. What I talk about is what you need to make sure that you have in place. One big thing that I talk about is being prepared in your personal life and how that affects your business. Because you got to master all that as an entrepreneur. We're talking about people that typically are doing that. My tax person, my financial person, they're going to be talking about commingling funds. Don't do it. We're going to be dealing with a lot of those, you know, understanding what commingling means. Some people don't even understand what commingling means. They just think that, well, I can't take the business. They don't. They don't understand that it doesn't just mean that you can't take the business funds and, for example, pay your personal bills. They should know that. But a lot of times they don't understand that there are other ways that you can get in trouble for commingling funds that's right there in the business. So you have to think about all of those things and make sure. I did a video about stop paying people under the table and some pitfalls for that. Also talk about working with family members and people that you love and that you have a personal emotional attachment to. That can be just about anybody. That's close friends, that's family, that's love interest. We talk about all of that.
What's the I want to dig into that one just a little bit. And I'm going to let you go because I know you're doing your thing. By the way, I love that scarf you're rocking on your head today.
Thank you.
What's the trouble there? The hazards of working with your loved ones? Because, you know, some folk don't get that. You know, and I don't believe in mixing my honey with my money, but some folks don't get that. You know, Biggie even told them, keep your family and your business completely separated. I don't get what they don't understand when Biggie said it. It's not hard. Biggie said it. You just got to listen.
Let me tell you, if Biggie said it, it must be true.
It must be true.
Well,
you know what I'm saying? I mean, that's like a biblical verse.
Well, here I'm going to tell you the biggest pitfall. The biggest pitfall is the fact that there is a relationship that exists between the two of you that may be more important than the business. I literally know people that have had businesses before they met this person. Now this is, you know, this is their boo, this is bae, this is whoever, and they bring that person into the business because of the skills that the person has. However, the relationship now has gone sour. And since the relationship has gone sour, that is now infesting the business culture. Now you got now we're fighting about who's gonna do what. Now, let's say if you and I were in a romantic relationship and I'm handling the legal side of everything.
I wouldn't
you're
be that
handling,
lucky.
You're the face of it. And then I decide that I am
that pretty
because Lee did something that I didn't like, and so I don't file a document.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm vindictive or whatever. Because we do have people that do that. So it's very hard to separate the business really from that emotional attachment. And so what you need to do is just be bae. You know, if you said, hey, Latanya, listen, I'm just going to be bae. I'm not going to be your lawyer. I'm not going to be your business strategist. I'm just not going to do that. I'm just going to be bae. That's it. And so at the end of the day, this is what I'm trying to get people to understand. Maybe we need to do that as a hashtag, just be bae. I like that. Let me write that down.
How you going to steal my idea?
Just be bae.
I got to be the co-founder of that.
I said we just be bae.
Okay, there you go. There you go. Make sure I'm the co-founder of that. Because when we go viral,
when you start seeing that hashtag, when you start seeing that hashtag, I'm going to give you some props for just be bae.
I appreciate that.
That's really what it is. That honestly is what it is. A lot of times when you have an emotional connection like that with someone, you will overlook some things that you may, with someone else, you may intervene. You may even fire this other person, but you may not want to do that to your child or your parent. My father and I have never really truly done business together, but you see how we interact. That's everybody that knows us knows, like, that isn't like for the camera or anything. Like, that's just how we communicate, how we interact. Not to say that we probably couldn't do business, because I respect him and he respects me for what I do, but it's very difficult for him to listen to me in a wise counsel type of situation because I'm his daughter. It's difficult.
Yeah, exactly,
sometimes
exactly.
For five other people to tell him the same thing, and then he's like, well, yeah, my daughter told me that last year, you know. So that's the frustrating side of it. Because
that would be your daddy, too.
Yeah, my daughter told me this last year. And he'll probably have some curse words with it.
Oh, that dude is hilarious. I love that dude.
He does what he wants to do. He has created a rule book that works for him, and it's a good strategy if that works for your business.
Right. Okay. Cool. Oh man, I'm sorry. I'm thinking about your dad, and I'm just smiling and laughing. But that's cool.
Please ask away.
Okay, so
whatever questions you have.
We're gonna have that at another time. All right, so let's get down to the meat of it. When is the your event? How can folks get to it, be a part of it, and let it rip?
Okay, so they can actually go to www.LaTanyaMoore.com. You can go there. Actually, we do have an event page set up on Facebook on the Eye Protector brand with LaTanya Moore page. You can find out more about it there. The event, it's a virtual summit. It is $97. We are going to have a social media expert. This lady is an expert. Her name is Michelle Bridger. She is an expert in Facebook ads. So for those of you that are interested in how you can put together a great Facebook ad, Michelle will certainly be the person that you're going to want to hear from. And, so that's all they have to do. They just go there and sign up and register, and then they'll get all the information from there.
Okay. All right, that's what's up. And, again, we appreciate your time. I don't know if you caught my rant earlier in the show, but my ass is in Houston when my ass is supposed to be in Dallas. So just imagine that. And I am in Houston. Well, I was in Houston with absolutely nothing due to a scheduling conflict with Southwest. And when I say absolutely nothing, I mean absolutely nothing. I showed up in Houston with my wallet and my cell phone. That was it. That was it.
Oh,
nothing
my gosh.
Else. Yeah, nothing else. Nothing else. That's not an exaggeration. I showed up with nothing else. So I'm trying to get my life together today because, you know, your boy cannot go away in the same clothes for 3 days in a row. So that be about the size of that. Yeah, when I said nothing else, I actually meant nothing else. Yeah, absolutely. Yep. But I do appreciate your time, and we do look forward to very soon and in short order
talking to your daddy. Because
oh my God.
I am ready to have a great time with that. And look, the beauty of it is Father's Day is right around the corner. So let's utilize some booking agent skills and let's work this thing out. But again,
okay, let's do it.
Thank you for your time. I love the wrap on the scarf on your head this morning. You be safe out there, and we will definitely look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Okay, awesome. Thanks for having me. Have a good day.
Take care, sis. Have a great one. And family, again, like I said, I am on the run because it just has to be that way. Cuzzo, he's in the sky flying to Dallas. So the whole thing was he was flying into Dallas. I'm flying into Dallas. We're getting together. Boom. Right? Yeah, that didn't work. So that'd be about the size of that. But, hey, man. Life happens, and, you know, we just got to deal with it. We got to deal with it the best way we can. We appreciate your time this morning. You all have a great one. Please enjoy this beautiful day if you're on the East Coast, if you're down south. For the most part, everybody's getting great weather. So, now, if you're in Colorado or Utah, shit, you might still get some damn snow today. I don't know what the hell's going on around that place. But if you're on the coast, bottom, sides, you're pretty much good. Be good people. Be safe. Enjoy yourselves, and we will see you back on the radio next week. Peace.